I'm Barbara Kahn, the Executive Director of MSI. When you go shopping, how much does sustainability play into the choices you make? As people grow more aware of environmental, social, and economic issues facing various parts of the world, eco-friendly products are increasingly being offered to consumers. But that doesn't necessarily mean that these companies or products do well in sales or are ultimately successful. My next guests have looked at this issue in a research paper that they titled, "Does Sustainability Sell? The Impact of Sustainability Claims on the Success of National Brands' New Product Introductions." Jenny Van Doorn is a professor of services marketing. Hello, Jenny.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And Hans Rieselda, he's also an assistant professor.
Hello, Barbara.
And they're both at the University of Groningen, Faculty of Economics and Business in the Netherlands. Thank you so much for joining us here. And let me start really from the beginning. Hans, tell me what got you interested in this subject.
There's different reasons for that. So first of all, is that what you see now is that a lot of national brands are introducing products, new products with all kinds of claims. And some of them have these, what we label sustainability claims. And we know from other research that new products have a hard time of being successful. And I was wondering whether these sustainability claims could maybe make some of these innovations more successful in the stores. At the same time, there's also research showing that these sustainable products, actually have a hard time for different reasons. So I thought there was a nice sort of potentially a contradiction in the literature, and therefore I thought it was interesting to study that in more depth.
Yeah, Jenny, what about you? What got you interested, and what kinds of products do you look at in this research?
Well, we look at organic and fair trade products, and in previous papers, I already played around with some sales data on organic and fair trade products. And what always struck me is that people are all saying that it's good to buy them and that we should all buy them. But if you look at the actual market shares, it's really low and it's really only appealing to a small segment. So that made us wonder, you know, what happens with newly introduced products? Is it maybe a different way? And do these products fare better than the already existing products in the market? Because there we see that they really appeal to a small segment of consumers. That's what got me interested in this study.
Yeah, that really is surprising because of all the media about it. And you said you've looked at other surveys on this. Has it changed over time? Because it seems to me that it's getting more and more important. Have you noticed anything? I know that's not exactly what your research is testing, but I'm just curious if you happen to know that, Jenny.
Not really, actually. So we haven't seen it changing. So we also collected some data very recently, like 2 years ago or something, I mean, pre-COVID, but still rather recently. And it's still there. So you see an increase and people are always, you know, applauding that increase, but it's on a very, very low level. And I don't really see it, you know, spiking up really, really big. In Europe, you have some countries where sustainability is more mainstream, but that's more when you go to the northern countries like Denmark and Scandinavia, also Germany. But the mainstream is still, you know, non-organic, non-fair trade, despite everybody talking about it,
it's really kind of
which
amazing.
Is super
and especially,
weird.
I think you're looking somewhat in Europe, and I thought it was particularly relevant in Europe, even more so than in the United States. So that's particularly surprising.
I don't think that the market shares in the United States are so much lower than in Europe.
No, I'm sure, because I think it's even more important in Europe, so I'm sure. But that's really surprising. Well, anyway, Hans, going back to what you were saying about new products, when it comes to new products, I guess, you know, what you were saying, you saw a contradiction, but the idea would be that sustainability could differentiate that item from other more conventional products and increase sales. But you said you had noticed that in the past, and in fact, your research didn't find that to be the case. Can you explain that a little bit more?
No, exactly. So it could indeed be sort of a differentiating factor. Yeah, you have this claim on a product, which is, you know, people can easily observe that in the store. As we just discussed, a lot of people say that they value sustainability. So you could argue that this differentiating element would help support these new products in being successful. On the other hand, you know, we don't find it in the data. There's a lot of papers on the quality perceptions that consumers have of sustainable products. They might fear that a lot of the efforts that company put in developing this new product go into the sustainability element and not necessarily in quality per se. And that's actually what we find. So we find that these sales numbers for these new product introductions are actually lower for products with a sustainability wow. claim than products without.
You mentioned in your paper, you see it as kind of like a zero sum. So people somehow think that if you put all this work into quality or into sustainability, it's going to affect the quality effort or something like that. I mean, exactly, I saw you mentioned that. Did you actually test that theory? Is that just something you're thinking might be the way people think?
With the data that we currently have, we could not specifically test that theory. So we do not have data on consumers' perceptions on the quality per se. We have some other research, recent research also, that actually shows that this still is the case. So it's still perceptions of consumers seem to be that the quality of these sustainable products is lower. And sustainability basically comes at a cost of quality. That's at least the perception of the consumer. So taken together with the things that we find based on our extensive data, sort of complete the picture.
So you might think, Jenny, if that's the case, if people see it as somewhat of a zero-sum kind of proposition, that maybe marketers could do something in their advertising or in their branding to counter that perception. Did you give any thought to that idea, like what would be the remedy for that problem?
Oh, yes, there is a silver lining here, and I'm happy that I am the person who can put the silver lining forward. If you as a company have an explicit CSR strategy and you have a reputation for being a CSR company, think of Ben & Jerry's, but also in Europe, think of Unilever, that put down a very explicit pledge to also to CSR and sustainability, then it's not that negative. Then it can even become positive if you introduce sustainable products. So I think what the consumers don't like is if you just, you know, put a product out, it's sustainable. Here you are. It needs to be part of an integrated type of company strategy. And then it doesn't backfire negatively on you.
I see. That makes total sense to me. I mean, when I teach things about this in my course, one of the things that I talk about, which I think is consistent with what you're saying, I'm happy to say, is that it has to do with authenticity. That's the word that I've been using. But I can see when you say CSR, corporate social responsibility, a company like Ben & Jerry's or Unilever that has a really strong reputation in that, then you don't necessarily, so even your data will show you don't necessarily see this decrement. That's really great.
It should be, as you say, it should be authentic. It should be authentic company strategy that it is part of your company DNA, more or less. No, not more or less. It should be part of the company DNA. And then you can be successful also with new sustainable products.
And you have data then that does show that it's positive under those circumstances?
Yes, yes. So we also have a moderating factor of CSR reputation, and there you see that if you have a high reputation for CSR, it can be good for it benefits the sales of new sustainable products, and I think that's good news for the companies who have it in their DNA. But for companies wanting to go there.
Yeah, and then that begs the question, like, how deep in your DNA does it have to be? I mean, Unilever and Ben & Jerry's was initiated on that idea. So
exactly.
It is deep in their DNA. But now when, you know, some brands are trying to be authentic, whether or not it's believable, I imagine it's hard for you to tease apart all those details. But you could imagine situations where it might be hard, even if the brand is being authentic on it.
If I can add to that, Barbara, it also relates back to the previous point that we discussed on the zero-sum perception that consumers have. If you have a company that is authentic but is also consistently producing, let's say, in a sustainable way, then consumers don't need to fear that there was a one-time investment required that would go from quality to sustainability. If the whole production chain has been sustainable already for a while and has been shown to be sustainable already for a while, It could very well be that consumers no longer perceive this as a one-time move of money and effort from quality to sustainability. So that could also be part of the explanation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I understand that you're not really teasing apart all of that. Some of that is speculation, but it certainly does follow if kind of what you're thinking about the way the consumers think about this. That would make sense also. Yeah. So Jenny, let me ask you about other things. What about price? How does price interact with all of this?
So we looked at price and price promotions. So price promotions don't really help. They're more or less counterproductive because they're less strong for sustainable product compared to their non-sustainable counterparts.
Wait, let me just clear what you're saying there. So when you say a price promotion, that would be like a discount for a sustainable
product? A discount, yes. Okay. Yes. So a discount has a less strong effect for sustainable products. And yeah, that's probably due to, but that's also speculation, that people, you know, sustainability is more of an ongoing commitment that you have or that you don't have. What works, however, to make these products more attractive is lowering the regular price, so the daily price.
Oh, so if the price is lower, then that's better? Yeah. So you're not seeing like a high price signaling kind of effect or anything like that?
No, we were thinking that that would be the case, but we didn't find it. But it actually, there's also this paper of Koen Pauwels and colleagues, and that actually fits very well with his paper because he has also shown for existing sustainable products that lowering the regular price, that kind of helps more than heavily promoting them.
Yeah, that makes sense in economic supply and demand, but it is a little counterintuitive for me because I would have thought a signaling effect would be what was happening here. Yeah, that's interesting. And Hans, did you look at that, at how, you know, you're talking about new products. So did you look at how innovative a product is, how that would interact with these things? Is like if it's a really innovative new product, is there a different effect here?
Yeah, so that indeed is the case. So we actually found that this innovativeness does support the product innovations or the product introductions, I should say. So if you are truly innovative, and that's really clear, we had expert ratings in our data. So if there is clearly an innovation, that indeed also supports the sales of these sustainable products.
And Jenny, we talked in the beginning a little bit about Europe versus the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit about the data that you used on all of this, what you were looking at exactly?
Well, these are actually only Dutch data. And basically what we looked at is in many product categories, how are the sales going of the regular product or of new products that are introduced without any sustainability claim and new products that are introduced with a fair trade or with an organic trade claim. And we supplemented those data with consumer data where we measured CSR reputation, among many other things, and also expert ratings on, for instance, innovativeness. But these are only Dutch data. And the reason is also that the coding process in particular, you know, teasing out behind which barcodes is which sustainability claim and signal, that's already like, that is very country specific, and that's already kind of an investment to do in itself, let's say.
You're right. But I assume that you have no reason to believe that these effects wouldn't like generalize to other cultures and other data sets. Or do you? I don't know.
No, not really. Given that I remember, I think the paper of Koen Pauwels and colleagues was on US data, and we find very similar effects, even if we look at new products and they look at established products. So we don't have any reason to believe that it's going to be very different, to be honest. But of course, that's also something to look at in future research. So what would interest me actually is to look into countries where sustainability is a larger part of the market. So again, going back to the more northern countries, Scandinavia, what would be the effect there?
Yeah, but I mean, Europe seems to be one of the areas of the world where this is the biggest issue. So like, to me, it's particularly surprising that you're finding it in Europe, because at least maybe it's just my stereotype, but I was under the impression that this is a particularly important aspect of marketing in Europe. I don't know.
Well, it is, but there are also surprisingly many differences also between the European countries when you, for instance, look at market shares. So the more you go north, the higher the market shares for sustainable products become, and more to the south, it's more or less lower. Now, I'm really generalizing and stereotyping now, but...
But I was just kind of curious. Yeah. Hans, while we're in the world of speculation, because now you've told us about your data, I'm just curious, why not speculate? You've thought about this a bunch. You're really looking at consumer packaged goods here. How do you think this would generalize to other categories, like apparel or something like that? Have you given any thought to that, different product categories?
Oh, yeah, indeed, that would be speculation. But I would say that these effects are broader than that. So are applied to a broader set of products, for sure, because that, you know, you could follow the same reasoning that also there, a lot of products use like literally like a claim on a product. So it could be on the tag, for example, if you talk about clothing or shoes or other product bags, for example, they also use these same claims and they probably have the same signal. And consumers may have the same worries of a product being indeed sustainable, but maybe of lower quality. So I think the things that we find here and the importance of having a consistent, or as you called it, Barbara, an authentic brand and company, I think, and being innovative, I think these factors are as important for other products as they are for the packaged goods that we studied here.
Yeah, you know, let me just give a pitch here for MSI, because you're scientists, you know, and you're looking at an important and relevant industry product, I mean, category or problem, I guess I should say. But I think that you can generalize because you've also taken a somewhat theoretical approach to it. You know, you had a process underlying, you know, you kind of know why you think it's happening. So it's not just like the effect, but you're also interested in the bigger approach. And when you take that bigger approach, it's not so crazy to be able to speculate how it might affect other countries in other products. Jenny, do you agree with what I'm saying? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It would be interesting to also look, for instance, at apparel, because there, of course, quality is also different things, right? I can imagine that if you have sustainable apparel, it's also about being hip, being fashionable. And that may be really difficult to reconcile with sustainability as well. But yeah, given that the theory is more or less solid and also has been shown in different papers for different product categories, it should be generalizable as well.
But, you know, now that we're in the world of speculation again, which is like a fun world to be in, let me just comment on your comment about apparel and stuff, because one of the things you're talking about in that world, the notion of hip or, you know, something like that, is almost a demographic kind of thing. So, like, the other thing, just to talk about what I talk about in my class when I talk about this, is I also say these sustainability claims are more likely to be effective for certain segments than for other segments. And like, for example, I use the, this isn't what you're talking about. You're talking about social response, I mean, environmental claims and sustainability. But when I talk about the Kaepernick campaign of Nike, you know, which is a more of a political campaign, which is somewhat related to what you're talking about here. It's different, but related. One of the reasons we say that campaign works is because their target segment cares about these issues more than other people. So I don't know how much you said you could put in a lot of variables. You had a lot of control variables, but and you might not have been able to tease this apart, but that would suggest, and even what you were suggesting, that there may be some demographics where this matters more than others. And so therefore, for some brands that are niche brands for those segments, it might matter more. Do you agree with that, Jenny? Or
I fully, but not based on this paper, to be honest, but on previous papers that I published like a few years ago, because there we take, so here we use the sales, and in the other papers, we looked really at the consumer level. And there we saw that sustainability was really appealing to some consumer segments. A very stable factor is always biospheric values that we measured. So people with high biospheric values, it's almost very obvious. But those are people that are more likely to purchase sustainable. Also income, education, those are all demographics that play a real big role. So yeah. When I started venturing in this whole world of sustainability, I also realized it's very much also a question of the segment you want to target. For some segments, you can reach them. And there are just segments. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Almost impossible to reach them with a sustainable positioning because they have competing priorities in life. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. Well, this is really, really interesting research, and it's nice to see data behind some of our speculation, even if I force you to go a little bit beyond the data. Thank you very much, Jenny Van Dorn, who is a professor of services marketing, and Hans Rieselda, who's an assistant professor. And they're both at the University of Groningen. I'm going to say it like an American, the Faculty of Economics and Business in the Netherlands. You can find their research paper, which is titled, Does Sustainability Sell? The Impact of Sustainability Claims on the Success of National Brands New Product Introductions on MSI Sites. I'm Barbara Kahn, and thank you both for joining us.